Well, tonight we're talking about music on radio with my guests, Johnny Randolph of WAKY, Neil O'Ray of WLOU, and Lee Masters of WLRS. And, Neil, you didn't get a chance on that last question there.
I don't know that question, and I do believe I've forgotten that question.
All right. He really wanted to know how we decided to, on the music for the various age groups, and what age group you're going after on your radio station.
Well, the age group that we're looking forward to or trying to grasp right now is between the ages of 18 and, like, 54, or in the early 60s, because you find there in the early 60s you do have album purchasers from, I'd say, from the age group of 18 through 60 in the R&B radio. They are album purchasers and not too much of single purchasers, because they foresee a single. They've learned so far that the single must come from an album, or it's going to be coming on an album. So they generally wait on it. If it is a single and it hasn't been released on an album yet, they'll generally wait for the album to be released.
Right. You know, there, Johnny and I were at a convention or a meeting not long ago in Indianapolis, and there's one fellow there that did research by calling people, and I guess he played the record for them and then got their reaction to the record. Isn't that right?
The guy in Cincinnati, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yes,
right.
Yes.
So there are all kinds of research methods being done in radio and trying to determine just what you, the audience, want to hear. And sometimes we get caught by all the charts and by all the surveys and by all of our research. We really do, I think, get caught in not realizing that there are so many people who never buy a record, that most of the people who listen to radio never buy a record. So if we go only on record sales, are we ignoring those people who don't buy records? On the other hand, the people who do buy records obviously are showing an interest of a mass group of people. So you got to suppose that if other people bought records, they would buy similar records to those being bought. So they can go round and round on the whole question. But I guess just about everybody now wants that that wide age bracket in demographic appeal to broadcasting. Okay, let's take another call. I think we took care of that one well enough. Hello, this is Jerry David with my guest.
Hello, Miss Malloy?
Yes.
I'm calling long distance from Plains, Georgia, and I was listening to your program tonight, and I thought it'd be an excellent opportunity for me to perhaps get in on, for take advantage of the talent that you have amassed there, to find out if you have any suggestions for music to be inaugurated by.
I was wondering if this was the beer drinker or the president-elect in Plains.
No, sir, this is the president-elect.
I see.
Uh-huh. Music to be inaugurated by. What do you think?
C.B. Savage, probably.
C.B. Savage.
Savage,
that's
has
right.
Been
that,
suggested
that is the
tonight.
One.
Maybe that would be better than perhaps America the Beautiful or something like that, huh?
How about the Snow Song?
That's right.
The Snow Song.
How about the Peanut Vendor?
That's a very good one. That's a very good one. I wish I had thought of that myself.
How about the Peanut Vendor?
The Peanut Vendor.
That's right.
Mr. Randolph suggested that, sir.
Or maybe Go Jimmy Go. Remember that song about 15 years ago?
Peanuts by the Four Seasons.
That's right.
Right.
Listen, we're coming up with all kinds of things.
We're clicking now.
My pants is taking all this down right now.
All right.
You'll all be under arrest for long.
How's the weather in Plains tonight?
We've had, we were touched a little by the storm, but it's not too bad. We're not snowed in, perhaps, like you are there in Kentucky.
You sound like you might just have just a little bit of a cold.
Not really. It might be this line, I don't know.
It might be.
I see.
But I have been outside in the snow with my brother, Billy.
Billy, yes. I want to remind you of his name.
That's right. Billy's out there today. He was trying to build a snowman out of beer cans.
You know,
he breathed on it and it melted.
He melted it right away. That was the problem. He did breathe on it.
You probably could be very helpful to us.
Yes, sir.
What kind of music in Billy's service station there? Does he have a jukebox? And if so, what's the most played song on it there?
Billy doesn't have a jukebox, but he sits around and hums a lot. He plays country music. He likes country music. I don't know why, but he does.
What kind of country music does he like? You know, there are so many different kinds now.
Just as bad as it can get.
Just all right. We want to thank you for your call. It's very kind of you, sir.
Yes, sir. That's quite all right. I won't reverse the charges on you here.
Well, that's...
nice.
I appreciate that, and we'll look forward to hearing from you next week.
All right, sir. Okay, and yes, I'll be on the air about this time next week, you know.
That's right.
My inauguration and all.
That's right.
Well, listen, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, and I wish you the best of luck, sir.
Well, it's our pleasure, sir, and please call us at any time.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Good night. Hey, this program attracts calls from just about everywhere.
That's true. The voice sounded familiar, didn't it?
Strangely familiar, yes, it did. I say, he's bananas. Hello, this is Jerry David with my guest.
Okay, Jerry, I got two questions. One about radio in general. Is it true that FM, not FM, but AM stereo is being experimented in the West?
Well, that is true. AM stereo first took place in the West as an experimental basis several years ago. It more recently has taken place in Baltimore, Maryland. This is strictly as an experiment now, and hopefully will be licensed within the next year or so. That's what they're predicting. It's all up to the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, as to the type of equipment that will be approved. There's such a thing as AM stereo, and it is workable. It's simply a case of waiting now for the FCC to make up their mind as to what type of apparatus the stations will use.
But how is the quality on the AM stereo compared to the FM?
I've never heard it, but they say that it is surprisingly good. But like I say, I have not heard it.
The stations would have to have new equipment, plus the receivers would also have to be different too, wouldn't they?
That is true. I understand it's not that much of a problem to have a stereo AM receiver. It is quite a problem to have a stereo AM radio station.
Convert all that expensive equipment over to stereo.
Because you don't need another transmitter, but most radio stations will need a different control board because most of the control boards are monaural. I know at our station in this year, 1977, we're going to be installing a stereo control board. If and when this, I'm not saying if, but when this stereo is approved, then we can look into it. We'll also have to have, of course, another program line to the transmitter, etc. And the big problem.
Had to record all your oldies.
That's right, you have to. All of our oldies are on tape. They will all have to be re-recorded. They will have to be recorded in stereo. There's an awful lot of work that is going to be to convert an AM station to stereo, and a lot of AM stations say, well, this is the salvation against FM. I don't particularly believe that necessarily.
No, I don't either. I think one of the reasons the FCC has been dragging its feet in this direction is because that they're not sure that the AMs would all rush to the scene to become stereophonic radio stations. We're in a larger market where many of the stations, I suppose, could afford to make that change, and certainly would on a competitive basis. But when you remember how many small stations there are across the country, do we then put them at a disadvantage? I think that's one of the things that the FCC considers when they consider these decisions.
But true, there are a lot of stations here that couldn't afford it. As far as that goes, you know, a lot of your smaller stations.
Right.
They couldn't even compare to it. And another question is about a record that's been released, and I don't know how authoritative the Robert W. Morgan Record Report is, but now he has a high rating for Kenny Nolan's I Like Dreaming.
Right, that was on last night, as a matter of fact, correct? I heard that same program.
Well, I heard it about a week ago. I'm not saying where, but it was in the morning. On the record report.
Well, it doesn't really matter, you
right.
know, what you heard.
But anyway, he brought it up that it was really skyrocketing, and like a lot of it's not being played locally.
Yes, it is. It's number 26 at Wacky. It's being played on WHAS.
WHAS has been playing it for some time and getting very good response from it. It's what you call a very attractive to our female audience. Pulls phones, as they say.
Pulls phones.
A lot of requests for that record.
I didn't know that. I had a copy of Frankie Valli's My Eyes Adore You and looked at the writer, and he also wrote that, which, you know.
He also wrote the record by the Sexolettes, Get Dancing. He wrote that, too.
He also wrote Home for Money, as I recall. No.
Home for Money? Oh, I see.
Many people have done that. Well, it was harder to get in tonight than it was through a request line. It was really difficult. So the response is good, so I'm not going to take up more of your time. And appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. Some good questions. 585-2385 is the number to call on a Mets Here program with my guests from various local radio stations talking about why the music on radio with the people who decide. Hello, this is Jerry David.
How do you do? I tune in a little bit late, but I would like to ask if this has been discussed, and you may pass it by, exactly who determines the hits of any city?
Well, the public generally determines
that's
the hits.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
The public
exactly.
determines.
Is this determined by phone-in, request letters?
And sales.
And sales?
Right,
as
sales. It's determined by sales and also requests.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, I have heard, I don't say this to be derogatory or smart, but I have heard that magazines such as Hit Parade or recording companies themselves have a determining factor in what songs will become hits. They sort of control the charts to some extent. Is that true?
You're talking about payola.
RCA would certainly have something to say about that. They've gone through a rough spell not having too many hits.
That is
they're
true.
They're pretty big.
Right. They don't control the hits because the public really controls the hits. What a radio station does, the radio station plays the hits and they expose various number of new product records on the air, and the public either accepts or rejects them, and the method is of determining that you just outlined yourself. And so the record company really does not play that big of a role in it. The record company's job is to make sure that the radio stations are serviced with the records in the mail, and then once the radio station goes on the record, puts it on the air, then the record company's responsibility is making sure that records are available for the consumer. So the radio stations can complete their researches to determine how the record is doing.
Now, does a radio station make a contract with a recording company or vice versa to make sure you have a good supply of new recordings?
No. The sole function of the record company to the radio station is to make sure that the radio station has the record. There is no contract. We don't, as radio stations, have any signed pieces of paper with the record company. That's just strictly a case of they send us the records, and we, as radio station music directors, either accept or reject the records before we put them on the air. And then the ones we put on the air, like I say, are the records that we think the public will like, and then the public tells us.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have one question. Again, doesn't have to be answered. I listened religiously to Pat Murphy. Can one of you tell me where he is or why he isn't here anymore?
Last I heard, he's still in town. And that wasn't too long ago that I report that Pat is still in town.
He has a store out in the Highlands section of town. I don't know what type of store it is. Now, whether he went in as his full-time business.
Of course, it's Irish.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the best to my recollection, that's it. Well, all right. Thank you, gentlemen, very much, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you for calling.
Good night.
17 past 9 at WHAS in Louisville. Jerry David Malloy substituting for Milton Metz tonight and the Metz Here program. My guests are Johnny Randolph, Neil O'Ray, and Lee Masters. 585-2385 is the number to call, and we'll take another call in just a moment.
The Windmill restaurants are rapidly becoming favorite eating places for many folks, especially those who want to skimp a little bit on the prices. It's wholesome food and a wholesome atmosphere that you can afford. Family cooking at its very best. Of course, pancakes and waffles the way you like them, but the Windmill restaurants offer a complete menu, from delicious homemade soup to home-baked pies like Grandmom used to make. Entrees that include steaks and baked ham, roast beef, chicken, fish, shrimp, spaghetti, chili, whatever you can think of, the Windmill can serve it up just the way you like it. Complete meals that include your choice of two deliciously prepared side dishes, plus fresh bread and butter. And the Windmill's breakfast special, served from 6 a.m. till 11 a.m., is just 79 cents for two eggs, toast, and jelly, and hash browns. That's a good way to start the day, the Windmill preparing their breakfast special for you. And they're open 24 hours a day. There are now 6 Windmill locations in Louisville, 2 in Elizabethtown, and there's a brand new Windmill in Somerset, Kentucky.
We'll take another call. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, my name is John A. Welch, Jr.
Yes, sir.
And I'd like to find out some, I'd like to speak to Neil O'Ray particularly in this case.
All right. Neil's right here.
Okay. Neil.
Yes.
Like, I'm curious as to how come WLOU doesn't stay on, you know, cannot go 24 hours. I've heard several things about it, and I was just curious about that. Or do y'all project in the future of maybe going 24 hour?
Okay, well, let me say this. LOU is a daytime station authorized by the FCC to operate only in the daytime, so that means when the sun goes down, LOU goes off.
Uh-huh.
That simple. And to project in the future for LOU to be a 24-hour station, which is the trajectory, the engineers have been working on the case, and they find it awful hard to believe or to see that LOU can go 24 hours because of a station in Atlanta, I do believe, operates on the same frequency of 1350.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they were licensed first before LOU, and therefore they have the authorization to stay 24 hours. And they've, LOU has tried several times, and I believe they're still trying to fight FCC in this case of determining whether LOU can go 24 hours or not.
I see. I have another question, but this was directed toward, I guess, the general group. Now, I'm taking the logical conclusion that the advertisers, of course, are paying, you know, pay the time for the radio stations to operate, which probably would be a large part of any disc jockey's salary. But then, on the other hand, like, I listen to radio all the time, and like half the time, really three-quarters of the time, I don't buy none of the goods that they even advertise. You know, the relationship doesn't come together. I mean, how you all feel about it?
Let me ask you this. How old are you?
I'm 25.
25.
Uh-huh.
And the advertisers that advertise on radios, the product you don't buy. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
What do you buy?
Well, there's some things I buy, but
do you buy a car? Do you have a car?
Yes.
Well, all right, that's advertised on radio. Do you wear clothes?
Right.
I think probably you do. It's an area, you get into an area called subliminal advertising. And I really think that what you're saying is that when you hear something advertised on radio, perhaps you don't leave what you're doing at that particular moment and run out and buy. And you're absolutely right. But obviously for radio to have existed for these many years, with the kind of advertising and support that it has, people do respond to the advertising on radio. Sometimes we don't respond overtly, but people do respond to it.
Well, he said that he didn't buy half of the stuff that was advertised, so the assumption he bought the other half. So, you know, it can't be all bad.
That's right.
All I have is one last comment, gentlemen. I have to go along with y'all's comment that the Louisville market is diverse because it seems like there is a great number of people around it, you know, and like I walk around all the time. I notice there's people into all types of music. I just like to say that most of y'all are doing a good job and keep on just doing good work.
Thank you. That's
very,
very kind of you. Thank you.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
585-2385. Well, now here's something I know that he's going to buy. This is something he'll want. He has to take advantage.
The Giant Pet World store-wide clearance is in full swing right now at the Westland Mall. You'll never see prices so low again. Pet World's overstock is the result of buying out another store's complete inventory. So they're stacked to the ceilings with merchandise. Aquariums, $4.99 and up. Fish food, 25 cents a box. Supplies limited. Stock up for later at these low prices. Savings up to 50% and more now at Pet World in the Westland Mall on Dixie Highway. Open till 9 p.m. daily, Sunday 1 to 6.
Well, you get your pet taken care of, you got to take care of yourself, too. The Earl Men's Shop must reduce their huge inventory while they make their decision to stay or go. They've already closed one of their stores and moved all stock to the remaining location in McMahon Plaza. Manufacturers are still shipping goods daily on consignment, so the Earl has reduced prices on their entire inventory by one half and more. $16 dress shirts for $7.90. $85 raincoats for $39.90. $140 vested suits, $69.90. All prices are slashed at the only Earl Men's Shop location, McMahon Plaza, 3021 Breckenridge Lane. They're open daily till 9 p.m., Sundays from 1 till 5. have another call, gentlemen. Hello, this is Jerry David with my guests.
Can you tell me, do we have a public service radio station in Louisville?
We have two of them.
Oh, what are they?
WFPK and WFPL, both owned by the Free
what
Public
numbers?
Library, and WUOL, which is
the
University of Louisville.
Well, the numbers of them.
If you start out on the left-hand side of your FM dial, the first three stations you will hit as you twist toward the opposite end will be those three stations.
Now, those are FM. On the FM dial.
And U of L is classical now.
Right.
Right. And
well,
they're 90.5.
The reason I inquired is that I have an article cut out here that I've been meaning to call up about the dramas. And they're supposed to be about 180 public service stations that get these plays.
I would say FPK or FBL probably will run those.
The first one, it's difficult. Let's see, WFPL is the first one on the dial. They're at about 88 something on the FM dial. They have almost exclusive dramas and plays.
They do?
Yes.
Okay, and there was one other.
They're 89.3 on your FM dial.
89.3.
Is that WFPL?
That's WFPL. Yes. And they also have, they have a almost 100% talk programs, not only dramas, but they also have programs in the United Nations and government programs and that type of thing.
Oh, I see. Another thing, I didn't hear from here. One day I did a little twisting of the dials, and I never did hear from here. I'm a football widow. And you boys know anything about that one?
I've heard of the terminology before, yes.
Well, that was a record that I heard played someplace along the line. Okay, that was all I wanted to know, and thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for calling. Some good questions. We've got time for maybe another question or two with our guests. 585-2385. Hello, this is Jerry David.
Yeah, this is Danny Carnes. I'd like to ask you a question about the music which is really overlooked, and it's bluegrass. And I'd like to know if there's any station, you know, in the Louisville area which really plays bluegrass or gets into it.
Lee Masters raised his hand. Either he has to leave us for a few moments or he has the answer to that question.
Down the hall on the left.
I understand that UOL, the University of Louisville station, will be programming a weekly bluegrass show. I've heard that rumor. As far as, it's a shame Moon isn't here for Wynn because
right.
That, you know,
probably could answer better than any of us, but I really don't think that anybody at this particular time is doing anything in the bluegrass field. It's one of those areas that the audience is, they're very strong, they're very dedicated until you start programming the music, and then for some reason they're not there when the ratings show that audience isn't there. It's just one of those weird things. It used to be that way with jazz a lot. You know, a few years ago, jazz, you heard a lot about jazz enthusiasts, but if you put jazz on the radio a few years ago, nothing.
Even recently in one of the local papers, there was a reviewer that had reviewed a jazz concert, and I believe it was Herbie Hancock was in town, and that's certainly a big name, and that may be wrong as to the artist, but let's say it was Herbie Hancock, just for information's sake, and there was not that many people there for the concert, and the reviewer made the remark that there are so many people that keep screaming, bring jazz acts to town, we want jazz, and all of a sudden they come to town and they're not there, which is not the case of the Bluegrass Festival held here every year.
Right.
That's a big one.
Very, very well. But I think Lee is right. I think University of Louisville Station is going to... We're going to have to run. Thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you.
We have time for this one more quick call. We have about 30 seconds. Hello.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes, sir.
I'll make mine short to this point.
Okay, thank you.
Since you all have such influence and are kind of a bellwether station, we understand it, as far as the other part of the country watching what is put out, I think you all should be more responsible in the influence you're having on a lot of these young kids. On the type of music that's coming out, some of it should... When it's suggestive or off-color, I think a matter of judgment should be involved, or regardless of what is permitted under the First Amendment or whatever. Because you have a formation of character involved, and as some philosopher once says, let me write a nation's songs, and I care not who writes the laws. Have you ever heard that?
I think so, yes.
There's something to bear in mind. That's a responsibility going along with it.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Okay, well, that's our program tonight. And I hope that you gentlemen will carry forth with a little more responsibility in your jobs after having visited with us tonight.
More decadent music on the air.
Well, I think sometimes we do take our responsibility a little more, a lot more than a lot of people would like to believe. But we always remind people that radio is a reflection of the community. And that's really what we do. But I want to thank my guests, Johnny Randolph from WAKY. John, thank you for being with me.
Thank you.
Neil O'Ray from WLOU.
It was a pleasure.
And Lee Masters from WLRS.
Thanks for having me, too.
And we're sorry that Moon Mullins was unable to be with us tonight. Tomorrow night, I'll remind you again, I'm going to be talking with some experts about what do you do during a weather crisis. Your pipe still frozen? Well, maybe we can help you tomorrow night on the Mets Here program. Thank you. Tonight we've had kind of a local show with people from the area radio stations. We did have one long-distance call from Jersey City in addition to those most welcome calls. For Milton Metz, I'm Jerry David Malloy. I hope you'll be with me tomorrow morning at 9 and again tomorrow evening at 7:30 for the Metz Here Show. Good night.